Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to just thank God for giving me this opportunity. This is a little different for me in that I don't know that I've ever gotten up to speak in the condition that I'm in. For lack of a better word, God's been berecking me. I don't know the right word. And I've actually seen people speak in what seems like out of emotions to try to lead people into emotions. And trust me, that's not my goal here, but I can't help where God has me. Let's do something for a second. Let's, without the music, just shout and praise God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. You're so good. You're so good. Praise you, Father God. Wow. I think I can speak now. Those who know me may find that quite amusing because I'm usually not at a loss for words. But God will do that to you every once in a while. Most often he does it to me when I'm in private and everyone doesn't get to see it. But that's what was going on today. And you're going to get to hear why. Because, as I said, actually almost every song we sang had a part in what's gone on in my life the last couple of weeks. And so if you want the whole sermon, just get all the words of the songs today and read them over and over again, okay? Then you don't have to take notes, okay? I know we were always encouraged to take notes at every teaching from back in our days in MTS, LTS, whatever, but it pretty much covers it. What I'm going to do today is spend my time giving you a testimony. And I'm almost careful to put, I've almost said my testimony. Though I was the one that went through it, the testimony is not about me, it's about God. 2 Corinthians 10:17 says this, "But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." And glory means, that right there means to boast. So it is okay to boast, just not in yourself, boast in God. And that's what I'm here to do today. In fact, I've never been so excited in my life to share about my failure. Seriously, what I'm going to share today paints me in a very poor light, at least what I was going through the last couple of weeks, okay? But it shines a great light on God. Because my testimony shows his strength. It's like the song, My Rescue Story. In my weakness, he was strong. Okay? So, now I'll go back and share the testimony with everything possible, giving glory to God, and that's what I want you to hear. If you hear anything that might not sound like that, just throw it out. Okay? Because it's not meant to be that way. And I say that because part of the story I have to share is the negative part about me so that you can understand what God did and how it worked. Because what God showed me before he changed my mind on what I was sharing today. Pastor Bill asked me about 2 weeks ago, we talked, and he said, yeah, you can share this morning. And because of the type of person I am, I began to prepare right away. God said, oh, I thought it was God, do this. And within a week, I was ready, and that was last Sunday. And God said, no, you're not teaching that. You're going to share your testimony, actually about me. I'm like, boy, that's going to make me look pretty bad. It doesn't matter. And in fact, it's actually exciting in this. If you think of what Revelation 12:11 says, it says, for they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So Jesus already did his part. Then it says, and by the word of their testimony. So how do we overcome the evil one? By the word of their testimony. So God's already given me a victory in my personal life. I just keep getting more victory by sharing it today. And what God showed me is, because I share this with you today, when you then start walking through the rest of your life, you're going to come to places either exactly like where I was at or similar, where you can see what's going on, and you're going to go, I'm not going to do what Alan did. I'm going to do what the Word of God says and go through avoiding what I went through. Now, I thank God how he ended it, but I'd still rather have not gone through what I went through. Okay? So let me begin to share this. My testimony starts with about, it'll be 4 weeks ago, Tuesday. I live in the Chicago area, and about 2.5 years ago, there was really no longer reason why I had to be there. I could be anywhere in the world. And so I've been talking to God, like, why do you still have me there? And he showed me a few reasons. There was things I was doing from there. But my desire was to be somewhere else. But I also knew I wasn't going anywhere until God said, it's time, and here's where you're to go. To me, it was like I felt kind of stuck. That's all I can say. I knew I could do nothing different than that, because if you take off in your own timing and go somewhere you're not supposed to go, it's only going to get worse. So I stayed there. Well, that 4 weeks ago Tuesday, God spoke to me. And once again, did I hear the voice out loud? But yet, what I heard was a complete sentence. And I could repeat it over and over again. It was so clear. This is what God said. He said, it's time for you to go, and this is going to take faith. Now, what I want you to catch is what I didn't catch. I heard, it's time for me to go, and I'm praising God. Hallelujah, this is so great. I get to go. And I went from there to, where am I going, God? Now, notice what I didn't go to is the last half of the sentence. He said, and this is going to take faith. I will tell you, I didn't remember the second half of the sentence until God delivered me. Oh, you told me that so I wouldn't have had to gone through everything that I went through. In other words, he prepared the way for me, showed me what was going to happen and what I needed before it even happened. And I didn't do it because, literally, I was praising God. That's a good thing. But I forgot the last half of the sentence. So if God says something to you, pay attention to all of it. Yes. How's that? And you won't wind up where I was at. So I now get to go. And so what I did was, for about the last 5 years or so, I've been speaking out different places that, God, if you would want me to be there, I mean, I want to be wherever, but I had some places in mind. And I would speak them out loud to different people. Different people would ask me. I would go back to northwestern Pennsylvania, where I lived most of my life until about 5 years ago, and everyone would ask me, so when are you moving? When are you coming back? I go, well, I may come back to here. I don't know. I'm going to go wherever God tells me to go. So now he's told me I can go. So what do? I go online and start looking at homes, townhomes, condos, in the cities where I've been speaking out, I would like to live in these areas. It started with the city of San Antonio, Texas. And I hopped online, and what I saw immediately was, wow, there's a couple really nice places. And I would like to live in those. As nice as mine, around the same price range as mine. So if I could sell mine, I could buy those. And God, again, spoke out loud to me. And listen to the emphasis on one word, because this is what I heard in my spirit. He said, I can have you there tomorrow if that's what you want. And I guess that's not what God wants. Because He can get you wherever, just like that. But I knew in my spirit, from the way he spoke to me, that's not where I'm supposed to be. So what I continued to do was, let's go on to the next city. the next area. And this is where it got real bad, okay? Because, and this is something Pastor Bill shared with me when we talked about this. I actually called him with a specific question about what I was going to share today. And he shared something with me that I had never seen quite that way. But it, once he said it, I could see very clearly that that's what happened in this. I knew God had already showed me many other things, but not this one particular thing that he shared with me. And that is, most often, in the strengths, in the abilities that God has given you, and he gave them to you for a reason, for good reasons, there is an inherent weakness as well. And let me explain this, because it's part of my testimony to God and how this happened. God put in me an ability to run numbers through my head. Just quickly multiply, divide, calculate percentages. And so as I looked at these homes, townhomes, I looked at it and instantaneously. I go, okay, I can sell my house for this much if I put this much into it, and I'm going to pay this amount of commission, and then I'm going to buy this house, and it's going to be this commission to close here. And I mean, I had all the numbers went just like this real quick. And every place I looked at, I did that. I'm looking to see, is it as nice as the one I've got? And do all the numbers work? And in all the other places I looked at, I said the word, this is impossible. It doesn't work. And I said it probably 1,000 times. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. Because I looked at that many places between all, and every time it's like, this is impossible. It doesn't work. Based on what comes in and what I have and the cost at both ends, it doesn't work. Now, I know enough scripture that it almost, it was confusing to me even immediately after God delivered me how this ever happened to me, okay? But that's where it came in. It's a weakness that you don't even recognize. I couldn't see at the time what I was even doing because it came so naturally to me. I just did it. It wasn't like I thought, I'm going to do this. It happened automatically. Just the numbers started going, and I came to, this doesn't work. It's impossible. And once again, it wasn't until afterwards that I thought of the verse in Matthew 19:26. It says, with men this is impossible. Now, he was speaking, notice it says this, he was speaking to an individual situation that someone had questioned him about, Peter. And so, with men, this is impossible. But the second half of the phrase, he changes the wording in this way, and this is what I want you to hear. But with God, all things are possible. So he's no longer speaking to that only that situation. It's all things are possible. So now, once again, I didn't hear that in the middle of what I was going through. I'm speaking, this is impossible, it doesn't work. Not what I should have been speaking, okay? And here's what the problem was. Also, I'm talking to God after this is over. And actually, Pastor Sidney shared a statement last night. We were at the church over in Lancaster. And I'd never heard it phrased quite that way. But that's how God usually does things with me. And I go, oh, that sounds really good. He said, while you're in the middle of a problem, situation, whatever you want to call it, you don't run around looking for how the wolf got in while he's in there. You deal with the wolf first, and then when it's done, you go back and try to figure out how not to let the wolf in again. Make sense? Okay, so, and God always does that for me, and he did that, which is part of what I'm going to share as we move forward. And so I'm in this situation, once again, I'm going, I don't see it. I have a good friend who actually joined us today, and many of you know him. Actually, Kevin and Kelly, both my friends. And what I was going through actually affected my body, my physical body. I wound up having my blood pressure reading was 201 over 119. Wow. Now, if you were to happen to hop online, which I did, it tells you there's a chart that says 130 to 140 is just known as normal high blood pressure, okay? But then there's three other stages. 140 to 160 is critical three. As the numbers get lower, it's worse. 160 to 180 is critical 2, and 180 to 200 is critical 1. And what they say in critical 1 is, now remember, mine's 201, so I've even passed the number. It says, don't talk to anybody about this to hear what they have to say. It says, call your doctor, go immediately to the emergency room, and don't consider anything else. I didn't do that. I immediately went to my doctor. I started, God, I need help here. You created me, you can fix this. And I will say that after about 3.5 hours, my blood pressure was down enough. I said, okay, I can go back to sleep now. During that time, what got me there where I took my blood pressure, it actually felt like my head was going to explode. Literally, not pressure on you, it literally felt like my head was going to blow up. And I actually had the thought, you know, I think you'd die if your head blew up. I mean, literally, and it was kind of comical. I made the thought, and it made me laugh, and I'm in great pain. I mean, it hurts when your head's going to explode. Okay? But so it was kind of comical to me that I even thought that. But I'm going through it, and I asked Kevin and Kelly to pray for me. The next morning, this was the middle of the night. This was between 1:30 and 5 in the morning. And I asked a couple other people, too, people that I can trust and know they're going to pray in the right way. I don't just ask anyone to pray for me. I have people that, okay, I know they're going to pray. And Kevin came back to me later that day, and he said, and the way he presented it was so good. He said, I know this wouldn't normally be you. So he's softening the blow. He said, any chance you're in fear? And my immediate response was, send me a text. No. Period. And when I hit the button, God goes, that's not quite right. Now, I still didn't recognize fear, but my response to him was, well, I may be in doubt a little bit. Seriously, that's what I texted him back. And now it sounds comical, but when I was in it, I didn't see it. I know the connection between faith and doubt and unbelief. I know that doubt or unbelief will lead to fear. If you're in faith, you're not going to be in fear. It can't happen, okay? And on top of that, my favorite verse in the Bible is Isaiah 26:3. And if I could say there's one thing that characterizes my life, I've told people when I read words in the Bible or scripture, I often put someone's face beside it. Because when I see what they're talking about there, I see someone that exhibits that so much that I go, there's the definition of that right here. And I've actually shared, when I read the word exhortation, I see a picture of Karen Burroughs. It's like she can't help but do that, okay? When I read about joy, I see Kevin's face. If you spend any time around him, he can't help but be joyful. There's just something about him, and we've talked about it. His mother, who also has joy, prayed for like double for him, and he's got it. That's all I can say. Because at the end of my story, you're going to even hear this more, how this affected me, because it was actually a really good positive. So now we're going to jump ahead. I'm not seeing it. For those of you that were here in the first service, teaching prior to the service, Pastor Bill shared, just as the praise and worship all had to do with what I was going to share. If you notice the words of that song we sang, it was talking about that God uses the canvas of our weakness to show his strength. Okay? Well, I was in great weakness here. Well, there's a reason why. And it had to become so apparent to me that the only way I can put it, and God doesn't do it this way because it's only done out of his love, but it was almost like he had to hit me up alongside the head with a baseball bat before I would get it. Okay? Pastor Bill, in preparing this morning, or teaching this morning, used the word discernment. And that's really what I didn't have as I was going through this. I wasn't seeing things clearly. Okay? And like I said, that actually surprised me. I mentioned the verse Isaiah 26:3. It's literally my favorite verse in the whole Bible. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." If you start looking at that verse, if you go to the end, it says, "Because he trusts in you." Well, I can say that if I were to talk to people and said, "There's one thing that I would hope you see," and I've had people tell me what they see when I'm around is, I'm the one who's always in peace. And it's because something God worked in me literally back in 1993. I think we determined that was the year that it happened from a conversation. When I got the revelation of this verse, because I trust in him, and because I trust in him, I keep my mind focused on him. See, you're not going to focus your mind on someone you don't trust. You have no reason to. Okay? So, I trust in him. I keep my focus on him. And therefore, I live in perfect peace. And in this one instance, and maybe this is also part of the problem, is that if you tried to tell me this could happen to me, I'd have told you, no, it can't. Because of that, I literally live in it, walk in it, all the time, to the glory of God. He gave me the revelation. He gives me the strength to walk it out, and I'm so thankful to him for it. It's like, I love being in peace. I mean, it is such a great place to be. Now, what I've shared with Kevin recently is, we're actually going to swap off of each other. See, he's always in joy, and I want more of that, okay? And he says, I want more of the peace. And as of yesterday, we had the most blessed day in the world. That song that we sang, another song, where it says, "The goodness of God is running after me."
Yes.
We sang that in the other church last night. And I spoke it out loud, and it's going through my mind over here again. I said, it done caught me. Don't be running fast enough that it never gets to you. It says it's running after you. Let it catch you. And it has me. It's literally like, this has been the most blessed weekend. And you can have weekends like that too. I'm not saying it's just me. All I can say is that's why I was reacting to what was going on like I was, because God has just blessed me so much in the last 2 days that it's almost overwhelming. I'm going to mention Kevin one last time because he said something. And Kelly was right there and he said, "Man, this may be the most blessed day in my whole life." And what went through my mind, and I didn't say it out loud then, was, you might not want to say that in front of your wife because it probably should be your wedding day, but but I will tell you that we had, both of us, the most blessed day yesterday that about two people could have spending it together, because it was all God. And it's just continued into today for me. It's just like, this is awesome. And the fact that I get to share this with you and have more of a victory because of my testimony, because it says that's what we get. That's how we overcome the evil one. And that God's going to use it for you. It's just great. So now I'm going to get to a couple details. This took about 9 days for God to get me where I should have been in a minute. So, because I know all the things that I needed. Literally, it's not even like I needed to look them up. God had already put them all in me over the years. They were all there. But I didn't see where I was at, so I didn't go to them. It was just like, don't see it. There was no discernment. And so where he finally brought me was on a Thursday morning. It was clear because I texted Kevin again and said, "Can you call me later in the day?" And he said, I told him I'd been up all night. And he told me same thing had happened with him. And so I asked that, more or less, that we pray for each other. But what in my response to him, I said, there's a problem, and the problem is me. And let me explain that just a little bit more. I could easily tell there was a problem. The problem is never God. There's nothing wrong with God.
That's right.
He's perfect. Amen. So now, I recognize the problem's with me. I still don't see what the problem is. I just know it's me. Okay? So, throughout that day, God started showing me things. And by between 3:30 and 4 o'clock, God hit me up with, as I said, kind of like the baseball bat alongside the head so that I finally saw it. Okay? And where he took me to was Romans 14:23. And it says, "For whatever is not of faith is sin." And I'm like, whoa. I've been sinning against my Father God. And till that moment, I didn't see it. And when I saw it, I explained when talking to several different people, did I know that the Bible said that godly sorrow leads to repentance? Yes. But did I have to think of a verse and figure out where it was? No, because all I can say is the moment God showed me what I was doing was sin, I couldn't help but be in godly sorrow. Okay? It's not something like you had to think through. It just happened. Okay? And that's because of my relationship with God. If you have that relationship, that's going to happen. If there's no relationship, that's not going to happen. Okay? But thank God it did. And I repented. I asked for forgiveness and I repented. And immediately when I did, the phone rang. And it's Kevin. He called me up on his way home from work. And I shared with him what had just happened. And the moment I shared that in part, he started laughing hysterically. Now you got to understand, I have just been in godly sorrow. I was wrecked. And I had just poured out my heart to God and asked for forgiveness and repented, and he's laughing. And it seemed a little bit off to me right at the moment. But what he saw was the victory. He hadn't been going through what I had. He knew that God had saved me. And I was now back in the right place with God. Because as soon as I asked for forgiveness and repented, I was right where I needed to be. Okay? That's what he saw. So he's laughing, he's rejoicing, he's in joy like he always. I'm like, I'm not quite there yet. Okay? Okay? Now, I can tell you from my life in the past, when I have sinned before, it's taken like 9 months and sometimes for me to get where I could go on with my life. Because though I had asked for forgiveness, repented, brought the sin into light, shared it with people, and the people, godly men, I'll mention names. At the time, it was Assistant Pastor Bob Hawk and Pastor Dale Armstrong. Okay, and I shared with them, and they go, "We know your heart. You asked for forgiveness. You repented. Let's get on with what God has for you to do. You're right where you need to be." And in myself, I'm like, I can't do that. See, I was still beating myself up over what I'd done. I was still feeling in me, I don't want to use the word condemned, but I felt like I needed to do almost like a penance. Seriously. And so I stepped down from a position that they had given me, going, I can't do this now. Okay? And they were right and I was wrong, but where I was at that time in my walk with God, I couldn't see how I could do it. But when Kevin did what he did, laughing, right when I'm coming out of where I was at, it literally made it so that within hours, that was erased. I was like, let's go, God. What do we have? What are we doing? Where are we going? And Pastor Bill shared something in his original teaching that was so important. And that is the link that the Bible has to repentance and faith. That they go together. See, what had happened when I was going through this was, I wasn't in faith, which was my sin, okay? I wasn't in faith. But the moment I repented, I was back in faith. My eyes then were focused back on God, like Isaiah 26:3 was, which is where they weren't when I was saying, this is impossible. This doesn't work. Thousands of times. And Jesus, once again, said, all things are possible with God. That's where my focus should have been. Not falling back on those gifts and abilities that God gave me. They weren't bad. I've used them. I was in sales for like 30 years. And boy, is it nice to be able to run numbers like my head does when you're in sales. Okay? So God knew that I was going to use those, so He gave me that ability. But in that weakness, my fallback was to run numbers and see the numbers and see this doesn't work, rather than stay focused on God, keeping my trust in God, remaining in peace, and then walking forward. Remember, He said, it's time for you to move. This is going to take faith. And where didn't I go? I went the opposite way. The opposite of faith. I was in doubt. Once again, and when I respond, when I say out of my own mouth, I go, I may be in a little bit of doubt. I look back at that and go, how stupid are you? Because, I mean, I said it out of my own mouth, so I kind of saw it. It just didn't go to where it should go, and it took like 9 more days. And I'm like, so what I'm going to pray over you, I'm going to close. But what I want to pray over you today is that when you wind up in a trial, see, God gave me this and set up my victory right from the beginning, and He was looking to form some things in me. Trials are good things, okay? Temptation, not good. Trials, good, okay? So He's trying to build my character, and I failed. And it actually sounds better when I say I failed. When it says I sinned, that sounds pretty bad. Okay? But that's what I did, okay? But what I want you to get out of this, and what God showed me before I shared this today, is that not only did He win the victory for me when He saved me, when He rescued me, when I was set free and saw this, and that I have even more of a victory today, because by my testimony I get to have victory over Satan, that you're going to have victory, because when you come up to this, anything like this, you're going to say, oh, I have some strengths. Is there a weakness there? Or is there something else? But you're going to have the discernment, and you're going to think back to this day, and you're going to go, I'm not going to do what Alan did. Seriously, I'm going to do what the Word says. And that excites me. That's why I was so excited to share about my sin. Because He's going to use it for your victory. This is all for His glory. I mean, we don't give Satan any glory over about what happened in that. But it's glory to God for saving me. It's glory to God for letting me share this today and in my testimony. It's glory to God for what He's going to do in you in the future, so that you don't wind up doing what I did.